Well, please turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and I read just the first, just read verse 11. And it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And my topic today is from this healing of the 10 lepers, and the title is, Where Are the Nine? You see, as we'll see in this passage, the Lord blessed all the 10 lepers. The Lord healed all the 10 lepers. Everyone received some miraculous power from God, a miraculous touch from the Lord. And really, all of them should have returned with very quickly to give thanks to God, to give thanks to Christ, to show their gratitude to Him. But only one person did. Only one leper out of the 10. The minority, one-tenth, responded in a way that was appropriate to give God thanks. And we have to say, isn't it today, even though we are living in a country where we are taught to be polite, and many people are very polite and thankful, you do something for them and they'll say thank you. We teach our children to show appreciation to one another, to thank others. We see often, and it's quite nice to see, when people get off the bus, if you use the bus, they often will say, thank you, driver. And it's lovely to hear. But very few people give thanks to God. Very few people respond in hearty, not just a thank you, and then carry on their lives, but a hearty, grateful response, which is not just in word, but not just in word, also in giving their hearts and their lives to Him, because He has done so much for us. So I just want to think about this healing of these 10 lepers. We see firstly here in verse 11 that the Lord Jesus was heading for Jerusalem. He's heading towards the end of His ministry and the cross. But instead of his coming from Galilee towards Jerusalem, instead of cutting straight through Samaria, as he could have done, gone right down the middle of it, that would have been the quickest route, the easiest route. Instead, he skirts round, he goes along the border of Galilee and of Samaria towards the River Jordan, and takes the longer way round. Of course, he must have intended that, knowing that these lepers were there, knowing that one of his people is there. And we read of just one of the things that he did along the way, this healing of the 10 lepers. And we read, as he was going along, he entered into a certain village, verse 12, and there met him 10 men that were lepers. Lepers who had come together. Lepers who were together, brought together, lumped together, because of their disease, because of their sickness. That's the only thing that brought them together. We see here, 9 of them were Jews, and just one was a Samaritan. Now in ordinary life, in normal life, those two groups would never meet. Never the twain would meet. The Jew would not mix with the Samaritan. The Samaritan would have nothing to do with the Jews. But here, we see them coming together. There we see them mixing together. These lepers who were cast out of their societies and from their families and from their homes, they more or less lost everything. They had to live separate lives. Well, they felt even amongst themselves the need to socialize, the need to be together. Birds of a feather flock together, they say, and the feather here is the leprosy which bound them together. And one of these 10, as we see, was a leper, but the other were all Jews. And they overlooked those distinctions. Those distinctions became secondary to them. Before, they made a big thing out of that. We cannot mix with you, we cannot eat with you, we have to keep separate from you. You're vile, you're horrible people. You're like dogs, the Jews thought of the Samaritans, and we wouldn't come together. But now those distinctions are unimportant. Oh friends, If only we could all realize this in life. We see distinctions, racial distinctions are unimportant, social distinctions are unimportant really in life. We saw it recently, isn't it, in the news with those three black footballers attacked because of the color of their skin, and such vitriol pointed in their directions, and people who are thinking, well, they're better than others because of the color of their skin. But dear friends, all of us, black, white, yellow or brown, we're all in the same boat. And that boat is the sinner's boat. And the boat is sinking. The boat is sinking. Then you don't care about people's color. Then you don't care about distinctions. If your life is in danger, if your life is in peril, you don't care. You just want somebody to help you. And we should be like these, realizing that together, even as a society, together, regardless of our color or skin or other distinctions, we are sinking if we don't have the Lord. And we should be crying out like these lepers did, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, grant me help from Thee. Pardon me for my sins. Together, regardless of where we are coming from. That's what these 10 lepers did. You notice that they cried loudly to Christ, where they couldn't come near to Him because of their leprosy. They had to keep a distance from Him. Some people say they had to social distance about 100 steps from them, never mind 1 or 2 meters. I don't know how they worked that out in practice, but they had to keep their distance. They couldn't come close to one another, to people who are just ordinary. They had to keep away, and they had to cry out. If they were approaching somebody who was normal, as it were, without leprosy, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so here they keep their distance from the Lord Jesus Christ. But they lift up their voice. They want to be heard. They want to get His attention. And they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How did they know Him? How did they know His name? How did they know His title, that He is Master? How did they know that He could help them? They were persuaded that He could help them. And so they cried out unto Him. I don't know how they knew Him. Perhaps somebody told them what He'd done for other lepers. When He came into the city, perhaps the word went around. Perhaps another leper had gone to their colony who had been healed by Jesus and told them what He could do. I don't know. But they seemed to have heard of Him and knew about Him previously. And so they cry earnestly. They are sure. They have some faith. They believe that He can heal them. And they are felt sure. They're desperate. Maybe they've tried every other remedy for their cleansing and their healing and their cure, but nothing's worked. They're in a desperate situation. And dear friends, if we are unsaved, if we don't have the Lord, we are also in a critical position. We are also in a desperate position. We are also in great need of the Lord's help. And we should cry also to Him. What will it take, friends? So many people today are not praying. So many people today who should be calling on the Lord for pardon are not doing so. Why are we so hard? Why are we so rebellious? God is willing to bless us. God is willing to save us. God is willing to do so much good to us. He's already done each one of us good, but He's willing to do so much more. If only we will cry to Him and ask Him for help. But we are so stubborn. We're so hard of heart. We're so refused. We so like our independence. We like to think we've done everything by ourselves. Maybe it will take something terrible like this to bring us down. Something terrible like this to make us realize, I need the Lord. And not some terrible situation to make us cry to God, to make us pray. To bring us to pray. Remember Jonah when he was in the whale's mouth. In the whale's belly. Then he prayed. Then he cried out to God before he was running away from the Lord. Running away from that call on his life. and a big fish swallowed him up. And we read, then he cried unto God in his trouble. And that's maybe it will take, friends, some terrible event to bring you to that position, to bring you, maybe you have to be brought to the end of your rope, to the end of your tether, to rock bottom even. We do not wish these things on you. We do not wish these things on people that will happen to them. But maybe it's the only way to get your attention. If you come respond to the Lord's initial calls, to his gentle calls, or you won't have to go through such a terrible humbling. But if we determine not to listen, we determine to go our own way, and the Lord has his desires to save us, then he may deal with us in such a way to bring us to the point where we feel, I need the Lord. For the Lord didn't bypass them. He saw them, he heard their cry. And look at verse 14, he says, this maybe it's a little bit strange to us, what he says, go yourselves, show yourselves unto the priests. He didn't touch them, as he'd done with other lepers. He didn't say, be healed, as he could have done, be cleansed to them all, and it could have been done. He said instead, go show yourselves unto the priests. Well, that's very meaningful for a leper in those days, because it meant when you felt in yourself that you were healed, that you were cleansed of your leprosy, well, you would go and show yourself to the priest. And the priest would verify it, he would check your body, he would look at your skin, and he would check and say, yes or yea or nay, you are healed or you're not. And if you were considered to be free of your leprosy and cured of it, then you were allowed back in the community. And you could go back to your homes. And you could go back to the worship. So when the Lord said this to them, go and show yourselves to the priests, they knew what it meant. They were saying that in so doing, you shall be healed. So it was an act of faith. They believed what the Lord said, and they did what the Lord said. And we read here, it came to pass, verse 14, that as they went, they were cleansed. As they were walking along to see the priest, miraculously, wonderfully, their sores were healed. Those broken skin was smooth again. The scabs and the oozing scabs which were there, and the other things which so spoiled their skin and made them look so ugly and terrible and horrible, was gone. And their skin returned to normality. What a miracle. Not just one person, not just one leper, all 10 of them. And one of them must looked at each other and said, your skin, it's changed. And they looked at one another, all 10, and they found out miraculously that all 10 of them had been touched, had been cleansed, had been healed. A great miracle. But dear friends, there's a point here for us to do as Jesus tells us to do. That's what these lepers did. Very simply, they followed what the Lord said. Now he doesn't tell us today to go show ourselves to the priest. Then what must we do? If I want forgiveness, what must I do, Lord? If I want eternal life, and I do, I want to be right with you, I want to go to heaven, I want to know you, Lord. What does Jesus tell us to do? Well, it's very simple, friends. He doesn't tell us to do something very complicated and difficult. He says very simply, trust in him. Trust in him wholly. Trust in him sincerely. Trust in him with your heart. Look to Christ. Look to him, he says. Look to the cross on which he died. See him taking away our sins. See him bearing away our sins. See him bearing the punishment of our sins. See him dying in great agony, and that sacrifice being accepted by God the Father. See him as your mediator, and trust in him and in what he has done. That's all, friends. That's all that God asks you to do, to trust in him wholly, and to give yourself to him. And you'll find, as you do it, somehow, miraculously, God will work in your heart. God will change you. The Lord will give you a new heart. He will give you a different spirit. He will give you a new heart just through this very simple act of trusting in Him. He will make you a new person. He will make you a different person. He will forgive you and He will heal you spiritually. You'll find an assurance coming into your heart that the Lord has saved you, that you are now His, that you are belonging to, that you belong to Him, that He accepts you, that you are reconciled with Him now. All these things will come to you, friends, as you simply respond to what the Lord says to do. But then we move on and we see how in verse here Jesus cleansed the lepers as they were on their way to the priests. At the end of verse 14 again, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus was not in their sight. They had departed from Him. They couldn't see Him. They couldn't. He had left them. They had left Him behind. He was out of their sight. But He was on in the way, away from Him, when this miracle happened. As we said, He didn't say anything to them, "Be clean," nor did He touch them, but He exerted His power from a distance, from a hidden point of view. We could say He touched these people. And it goes without saying, doesn't it, that all of them, all 10 lepers, should have sprinted back and ran as fast as they could to give God thanks, to give the Lord glory. But only one did. All were cleansed, but all received a miracle, but only one returned. None of them was left out. All of them received something from the Lord's hand. A wonderful something, a miraculous something had been done for each person. The Lord had touched each one of them, cured each one of them. All of them should have returned to give thanks to God, but only one leper did. And friends, isn't this also a lesson for us, that each one of us receives something from the Lord? Some people, yes, more, and some people less, but each one of us are given things by God. Each one of us here today, young or old, wherever we are, have received blessings in some way or other from the Lord. Indirectly, through secondary means, it may be, but ultimately the primary source of our blessings, the primary source of every blessing that you have, is from Him. Oh, friends, so many people, because they don't see God giving directly to them the things they have, the things they possess in themselves or in their lives, they don't return to give God thanks. Because He seems invisible and absent, people say, "Well, I've done it. It's my gift, it's my abilities, it's my work ethic that has brought me thus far, it's my intelligence that has resulted in me climbing up the ladder. I have these abilities by myself, I have studied for it, or I have earned it," instead of realizing that it is God's blessing given to us. We have received so much from His hand, but so often because it comes to us in a sense in just like an ordinary way of life, as these lepers just walking through life in a very ordinary way, going from A to B, and we're just going through life, and so we think it's very natural and just something that is something that belongs to us, something that is a very natural thing. And really, our blessings come, the source of all our blessings is from the Lord. We can think of intelligence. God gifts each one of us with some measure of intelligence. Some people more, some people less. But each one has a good measure. I met a man yesterday in the open air, and I was trying to talk to him about the Lord. And he was sitting on the bench, and he looked very disheveled and badly dressed, and the front of his clothes were pretty dirty, and he looked unkempt. And, you know, I thought, this guy, maybe he's homeless, maybe he's a bit tramp-like. But when he started speaking, when he opened his mouth, Well, he was, in a sense, he oozed intelligence. He spoke in a very intelligent way. I was stunned. I was taken aback. Here is this man, and I completely misjudged him. He had such an idea. He had an idea. He talked about creation. He talked about the Big Bang. He talked about this and that. And he seemed to know and have studied these things, and look, the appearance had deceived me. But he had wonderful intelligence even. And so also these are gifts from God. We see, friends, isn't it? We are thankful for the scientists who have developed a vaccine in record time, and the intelligence and the brain power that they have, which is far beyond some of us. We cannot enter into, reach up to their level. And what did we see the other day? We saw in the news, even one of these scientists at Wimbledon receiving a standing ovation when she was announced to the crowd. And everyone stood up for, was it four, five minutes, I don't know, to give her a standing ovation because of all the hard work that she had put in. But how many people give a standing ovation to the Lord? How many people stand up and show their thanks and appreciation to God for giving us that intelligence? How many people have responded to Him in the first place? Are you a kind person? Maybe you're a caring person. Maybe you have that disposition to help others more than others. Maybe you have a concern for people more than others. That's also a gift from the Lord. Once again, we saw, isn't it, and we are very thankful again for the NHS. And the NHS and the work that they've been doing to keep us, the doctors, the nurses, and those hospital workers and the care workers who have been, as it were, putting their lives on the line. And we're thankful for all their efforts that we have done. And the whole country stood on the doorsteps to applaud them. And well, we would stand with them, and we would also applaud and be thankful for all that they have done and show appreciation for their efforts. But no one has stood on the doorsteps to give thanks to God. No one has shown any gratitude to Him, to give Him glory for making us kind people, for putting that comfort and care into our hearts, and that concern and consideration into our hearts. So few return. It really originates from Him. So friends, if we are in good health, you have a high education, you're in a rare position, you have no financial worries, even these are privileges from God. Oh, sadly, we end up being a bit like these nine. These nine, after they knew that they were cleansed and they were healed, they went on with their lives. Maybe they went to the priest, most likely. Well, they had to go to the priest. They went to the priest, they saw the priest, they got confirmation that they were healed, and then they went on with their lives. It seems like they never returned at all to Jesus to give Him praise and thanks. And they just wanted to continue with their life. They'd so missed their old life, they were desperate to return to it. It may happen to us. We just may want to get on with our own lives, and we attribute all the privileges that we have to something circumstantial, maybe. Maybe we say, oh, I was just in the right place at the right time. That's why I've been intelligent. My parents are the ones. Or maybe you attribute it to luck or to fortunate circumstances, to our upbringing. Well, to ourselves, we attribute these gifts and talents which God has given to us, and so much more. But only one, we read here, verses 15 and 16. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Just a one, but how hearty was his response. How glad he was at what Christ had done for him. How thankful he was to be received this miracle from the Lord. And he went and he falls on his face with a loud voice. He didn't have to speak with a loud voice this time. He could draw near to Christ. But with a loud voice, it's so full of gladness and thankfulness. He glorifies the Lord and gives him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And the Lord says in verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The Lord is surprised. He'd expected all 10 to turn up. He'd expected all 10 to show up. But where are they? They're not there. They haven't returned to give him thanks. Only this one? What a surprise. The Lord expected them all. Where were they? Well, we sort of intimated that already. Where had they gone? These 9 gone back to their homes. Maybe they said, one said, oh, I've been sleeping rough all these years. I need the comfort of my bed, my nice cozy bed. I've missed that. I want to go back to that as soon as possible. Or they miss their families. Or I haven't had dinner with my family. I haven't hugged my children for all these years. I've been separated from them. I want to go back as quickly as I can. Maybe one or two miss their workshops. And they wanted to return to their workshops. Oh, I've been just living together in this cave or in this area with these other lepers. I haven't been able to do anything. I haven't been able to earn any money. I've been able to be active in some work. I want to go as quickly as I can to my carpenter shop or to my fishing trade and do get on with that. Or maybe they had their entertainments that they wanted to return to as well, instead of returning to the Lord. Oh friends, instead of being thankful to Christ, they just got on with their lives. They were thankless, ungrateful, even though he had done such a wonderful, personal, precious thing for them. Could I give you an illustration? Because it's a bit hot as well. Yeah. It's we have in our home a neighbor's cat. And this cat, well, she often comes to our door and often comes to our back door when she's hungry. And when we open the door, she's there looking at us, and she looks at us, you know, with those eyes that only cats can give to you, that says, pity me, help me, feel sorry for me, I'm very hungry, I'm desperate for food. And well, you know, then she'll come in, sometimes she'll come into the home, and she'll rub herself against your legs, and she'll be sure that she really wants something to eat. So you know, you cave in, because that's quite something a cat does to get your attention, and you're moved in a sense, in a way. But so we give her some food, and we give her some cat food, and as soon as she gulps it all down, well, that's it. She returns back to her favorite spot, to the neighbor's car, and she sits on top of the neighbor's car, and she lounges there in the sun, and she never returned to say thank you. She never gave you a look to say, oh, I really appreciate that. She never returned to rub herself against your legs again. She just went back without any show, but she'll come back again when she wants something the next day or the next evening, because that's what cats are like. But we're not beasts, are we? We're not animals, are we? To receive much from the Lord, we can be like that. We may be like that. We need something. Oh, so often people have cried to God for something and he's given it to them. Or they've cried to the Lord for healing and he's healed them. I know a girl, she cried to the Lord for healing and the Lord heard her cry. But she never returned to give thanks to the Lord. She never gave her life back to him. And that's what we can be like, unthankful, just as these 9 were. Where are the 9, the Lord said? Where are the majority? The majority got it wrong. The majority acted in the wrong way. Oh friends, maybe you are thinking today, I'll follow the majority. I will go with the flow. It's easier to do that. The majority of people are unbelievers in this world. Very few people go to church. There are just few Christians in this world. The majority are non-Christians having a good time. I will side with them. I will side with the majority. I will put myself in their place. I will go along with them. Surely that's the best way. Well, it's the easiest way. But it's not usually the best way, the right way to go. Oh, the church is so small. There are so few people. I'm going to go. Maybe it's so boring to be in the church. I want to go where there are numbers. I want to go where it's a popular place to go. Don't follow that advice, friends. Don't go follow the crowd to do evil, to go the wrong way. Think, well, what is the right thing to do? What is the right thing for me to do in concerning my relationship with God? The majority of people today don't express gratitude to God. They don't give thanks for even the food that they eat. The majority, friends, live in rebellion to God. They say no to God. They resist every overture of the Lord to try and bring them to His side. They're trying desperately, the majority, to put Him out of their lives. The majority are too busy to seek the Lord. Is that right? The majority of people don't love Christ. Is that right? Shall I side with them? The majority place all their joys in parties or in pleasures, in holidays abroad, again and again. They're looking forward to a life of pleasure. That's what the majority do. Am I with them? Am I with the majority? Do I side with them because it's the easy and popular thing to do? Because they are the bigger group? Friends, we should ask ourselves, what is the right thing for me to do? I must do the right thing, even if it means going against the whole world, even if it means going in the opposite direction to the way all my friends and family are going. I must go in the other way, the other direction. I must, like this leper, return to the Lord. I must be right with Him. I must seek to be right with Him. Don't follow the crowds, friends. Where are the nine, the Lord said? It also suggests, and just very quickly as we come to a close, it suggests to us that there is a day of accountability, a day of judgment. The Lord inquired, why aren't they here? What have you done with the gift that I give you? Why is there no response? And there is a day of judgment coming for us if we fail to ask to return to the Lord that which He deserves. Then we must give an account for everything that He has given to us and why we didn't return to Him. But look in closing, just finally, verse 19. And the Lord said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The Samaritan, he received a double blessing. Not only healing, all 10 received the healing, but he received a second blessing. And that was salvation. The Lord opened his heart. His faith went further than just that physical healing. He also obtained forgiveness and new life from the Lord. That's what the Lord means when He says, your faith has made you whole. It was something more. It began with him returning and giving thanks, and the Lord opened his heart and opened his mind, even in that encounter with him, to give to him faith, to see that he is the Messiah and he should trust in him and give himself to him and believe in him. And that's what he has done. Dear friends, maybe you've never thanked God in your life. Begin today. Begin to return thanks to him. And maybe that will open the door. That will open the door a little bit for you where the Lord can then reach you further. And you will begin to see, oh, as you thank him, how good he is, how kind he has been to you, and then how much more he can do for you, you know, and also saving your soul and bringing you to heaven, bringing you to glory, giving you eternal life. A double blessing can also be yours as you begin, even maybe with thanksgiving and some appreciation for him. Well, that's what we need, friends. We need the Lord to save us. We need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need His blessing, the spiritual blessing above every earthly blessing. A heart that is right with our God. A life that is living for the Lord. Come to Him and trust in Him even this evening. And go and do, friends, as He has bidden us to do. And you'll find that His word is true. He will bless you and change you. Let's pray together. O Lord, we again thank Thee that You are willing, so willing to help us, to change us, to give us new hearts and a new beginning. Lord, how we need these things. How we need Thy power exerted in our lives. Come and bless us, we pray, each one, and grant that we may once again find Thee to be a good and gracious and a mighty Saviour to us, each one. We ask for these blessings in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. We sing our final hymn, number 383, God made me for Himself to serve Him here. 383.